Something that was very cool about adopting a 12-year-old is that she got to stand up in court and accept us, too.
Gulf Coast Live is weekdays at 1. And if you miss it, hear the week's best Sunday mornings at 11 or online at wgcunews.org/Gulf Coast Live and on our free app.
Showers today with a chance of thunderstorms, afternoon highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, mostly cloudy in the early evening with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Then a slight chance of showers in the late evening, becoming partly cloudy after midnight with lows in the lower 60s near the coast and in the upper 50s inland. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.
From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Matthew Smith, in for Julie Glenn. 99,000 hit-and-run car crashes. That's the figure from 2016, according to the Florida Highway Patrol. More than 7,600 of those crashes happened right here in Southwest Florida. It's the third year in a row Florida's seen such a jump. We'll talk with the Highway Patrol about what's behind the increase and why they're urging drivers to stay at the scene. Plus, hundreds of people are trafficked in Florida every year, and the vast majority are young women trafficked for sex. Now, a new report from the Statewide Council on Human Trafficking shows many of those victims are used for sex tourism in South Florida, when traffickers bring victims to meet the demand of Florida's wintertime tourists. The report also shows LGBT youth being trafficked. Ahead, a conversation with the leaders in Florida's fight against this form of modern-day slavery. First, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Matthew Smith, in for Julie Glenn. Coming up in the second half of our show, human trafficking victimizes hundreds of women and men every year in Florida. A new report from the Statewide Council on Human Trafficking paints a grim picture for trafficking victims in our state, with the number of reports of trafficking doubling in the last year. In the second half of our show, we'll speak with Florida's experts working to combat human trafficking and how this modern form of slavery plays into the sex tourism industry in our region. But first, Florida is fighting what's being called an alarming increase in hit-and-run accidents. Data from 2016 shows that more than 99,000 such accidents were happening on Florida roads, and drivers fled the scenes of those accidents. Such hit-and-runs make up one in every four crashes in the state and account for thousands of injuries and hundreds of deaths each year. Here to talk to us about that increase in hit-and-run accidents and initiatives to get drivers to stay at the scene is Lieutenant Greg Bueno with the Florida Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Bueno, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
We're talking about hit-and-runs on Florida roads. What are your experiences? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can also reach out to us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And if you need more ways to get in touch, we're online, wgcunews.org. Lieutenant Bueno, we had you on our program recently to talk about highway fatalities and road rage, but today we are focusing squarely on what you've characterized as a surge in hit-and-run accidents. As we mentioned, Florida saw 99,000 such accidents, hit-and-run accidents last year. How does that compare to previous years, and do we know what's behind this increase?
Well, first of all, it's great to be here. Thank you, Matt. In 2014, there were 85,000 hit-and-run traffic crashes in the state of Florida. That number increased to 94,000 in 2015, and last year it rose up to 99,004. Again, that's an astronomically high number. As a driver, you must be responsible and accountable for your actions behind the wheel. There are 16 million licensed drivers in the state of Florida, plus seasonal residents, visitors. So again, it's if you're going to drive a vehicle that weighs thousands of pounds, you must have the responsibility to keep two eyes on the road, two hands on the wheel, and your mind on driving at all times. And should you be involved in a traffic crash, you must certainly remain on scene and do what's expected.
There's all sorts of ways we can kind of get at what is distracting drivers and what is behind a driver who flees the scene. But I guess what are some of the ways that we can maybe make the case when it comes to numbers? What kind of impact do hit and runs and I guess car crashes, accidents in general, have on the economy, say, or on a personal's health or a person's health?
Well, first of all, when we start throwing out numbers, if someone's not a victim of a hit and run or have been involved in a traffic crash, it may just seem like a number. But what we have to keep in mind is it could be your neighbor, it could be your family member, it could be your coworker. And again, that has a domino effect on business. It has a domino effect on your family, because if someone's out of work or someone lost their ability to have their transportation because their vehicle is now damaged, again, that's why all of us must, as drivers, have a high level of accountability, exchange information, remain on scene if there's an injury or death involved, most certainly. And that's what's expected as a driver in the state of Florida or anywhere, and just on a morality aspect alone, let alone the legal aspect.
Yeah, it's hard to understand in some ways. It seems like a basic civilizational issue. Stay at the scene if there's somebody who could be injured or that aspect beyond the law aspect. Let's talk a bit about that civilizational issue, and also what is the legal repercussions for somebody if they cause an accident or involved in an accident and they don't stick around?
Well, first of all, under Florida law, if there's property damage more than $500 worth of damage combined, or if there's an injury or death, you must remain on scene. And I'll take that back a step further. 84% of all of our hit-and-run traffic crashes were property damage only. Give you an example. If it's a minor crash and it's under $500 worth of damage, both parties are discussing whether they just want to exchange information or do a report. At that point, you have an option. As long as it's under $500 worth of damage and no injury, one party says, I want to report. One party says, I do not want to report. At that point, both parties have to remain on scene because you both have to be in agreement. So again, it's educating yourself to know what to do. Goodness forbid if you're ever in that situation. Repercussions. If you leave the scene of a property damage traffic crash, you're a criminal. It is a misdemeanor in this state if you leave the scene. Obviously, the penalties increase when the severity increases. If someone is injured, it's a felony to the third degree. If someone's seriously injured, it's a felony to the second degree. And if someone dies as a result of this traffic crash, it's a felony to the first degree, which carries a maximum penalty of 30 years in jail, $10,000 fine, and a 3-year driver's license revocation.
Can you break it down for us what those misdemeanor and those other felony if you're facing those kinds of charges, what's the range of punishments in terms of jail time, fines, that kind of thing?
A misdemeanor of the second degree is if there's property damage involved and you leave the scene, that is punishable maximum time up to 60 days in jail. Again, it builds from there. Felony of the third degree is 5 years in jail. And it builds up depending on the severity of the crash. And again, it's just the right thing to do. And put the shoe on the other foot. If you were the victim, you worked hard all summer to pay for your car, and someone comes and damages it and then just leaves, that's not the way we do business out there on the roads.
From a law enforcement perspective, what is it like dealing with the victims of a hit-and-run crash like this? What do you see about people who might survive a crash like this, be the victims of this, and they know that the other person just left and didn't offer to help, didn't offer to take any kind of responsibility?
Well, first of all, it's heartbreaking just to deal with crash victims, because a lot of times that person could be injured. It's a huge inconvenience to them to have their vehicle damaged, to be in a hospital or see the pain and suffering of a family member or friend. So again, it's a domino effect there. And as from a law enforcement perspective, it makes our job harder, because now we have to dedicate our resources where we could be out there proactively enforcing the law and saving lives potentially. Instead, we have to go do extra legwork to try to track down someone who was selfish and decided to not play by the rules and leave the scene. And that's why we have a zero tolerance with it. If you leave the scene, again, you're going to expect to go to jail for that. It's like the adage, we know it's bad to be involved in a traffic crash. No one wants to be involved in a traffic crash, but you're making that situation worse should you make that decision to leave.
We were talking about hit-and-run accidents and staying at the scene on Florida's roads. Call in with your experiences at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. We're also online on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter at WGCU. Check us out with the hashtag GCL. When we talk about what it's like to pursue a case like this, an incident where we have a hit-and-run, we just talked about the victims. But let's talk about the suspects that you as a law enforcement officer have to pursue. They've left the scene of an accident. Do these drivers know necessarily what they've caused?
Well, again, it's hard not to expect that they wouldn't know what they caused. You know, if you damage another vehicle, it's likely, obviously, you're going to know that. You're going to realize that as a driver. And of course, injury and death on top of that. The best choice a driver can make is just to stay on scene. Not only can they escape the repercussions of being criminally charged should they leave, but they're also obligated to render aid. That simple 911 call could potentially save someone's life. So that's the choice we want drivers to make. Again, it's the best choice for them, and again, just to make everybody on the same page and know what the rules are.
And when we talk about do these people know what they've done? When we say these people, do we know who these drivers are? Is there a commonality between gender and age or things like that when it comes to hit and runs?
Well, what we know from previous statistics are 33% of the drivers range between the age of 20 and 29. 69% of those individuals that leave are male. And again, there's a little bit of demographics for you. But we also know that 55% of all of our death cases involving leaving the scene involves a pedestrian. So what that means is a car hits a person and then leaves. And again, it's just unconscionable to think that someone would do that. 14% of all our fatal cases involve a bicyclist, vulnerable users. Again, it's just there's no room to be hitting bicyclists, pedestrians, other vehicles, and just leaving the scene.
And like you said, there's no way you can't not know that you've gone and hit a pedestrian or a bicyclist. The way you might think perhaps you've tapped another car, you can leave that scene. But it's hard to avoid that, the clear implications of that when it comes to hitting a pedestrian. We have a question from a caller. We have Matt on the line. Matt, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. What question would you have or comment would you like to share today?
Thank you for having me on. My question is, when I consider why a person might flee after being in an accident, they have to have some sort of reason for it. And I have a theory that some of the reason for the increase in the number of hit and runs is that there's so many illegal aliens driving vehicles down here that don't want to stop because they are here illegally or they don't have insurance or they don't have a driver's license. I'm curious if the officer has found that to be the case, and if he does pull somebody over who is an illegal alien without insurance or a license, what happens to that individual?
All right. Well, thanks, Matt, for your call. I'll go ahead and refer that question to Lieutenant Bueno.
Well, first of all, great question, Matt, and I agree. What we see out there on our day-to-day investigations with these hit-and-run crashes are people leave for a multitude of reasons. And a lot of that is having no license, perhaps not a citizen status, or possibly they're impaired or they're scared. There's a multitude of reasons there. So I can't pinpoint it down to one, but unfortunately we have seen many reasons why people leave, and none of them are good excuses. That's the point that we want to make. Should someone think that they perhaps hit something, then go back to the scene. And certainly stay there, certainly call it in so you could help. What would happen if we did stop someone that was of a illegal status, we would report that to the necessary authorities and follow up on that to take it from that point as far as their legal status here. But our main focus with these investigations, of course, are to apprehend that person that's leaving, hold them accountable for their actions, and certainly charge them accordingly.
I know it might be anecdotal, Lieutenant Bueno, but when you're investigating a hit and run like this, do you find a disproportionate amount of people who leave the scene are driving without a license or might be here without documentation here in the States?
Not so much the documentation in the United States, but albeit it has happened, but the no license, yes, that does happen. No insurance happens. We highly suspect oftentimes people are impaired when they leave. And then we always get those few that are just simply scared or they simply didn't know what to do. And that's why if you're going to have a driver's license, you have to educate yourself. You have to make yourself aware of what to do should you be involved in a traffic crash. And the best advice I can give anyone is to certainly stay on scene.
And to answer that caller, Matt's question, it sounds like we're talking people are more likely under – rather unlicensed or under the influence, as opposed to, as you mentioned, not quite as many as undocumented. So, Matt, I hope that answers your question. We're going to go to another call from Zach in Fort Myers. Zach, you have a question about fender benders. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've noticed quite a few people don't actually pull their vehicle off the road when they do have a small fender bender or even a little more serious without injury. What is the procedure there in the law as far as getting yourselves off the street?
All right. Well, thanks very much for that call, Zach. Lieutenant Bueno?
If it's a minor crash, we encourage those motorists involved in that minor crash to remove their vehicles from the road. Reason being is the last thing that we want is a secondary collision to occur. We're pretty good at what we do. We can, when law enforcement arrives on scene, we can determine what happened from that point. Obviously, if it's a God forbid, a death involved in that accident or something like that, then certainly we kind of want to keep things as they are. But if it's a minor property damage only crash, you can certainly remove your vehicles from the roadway so that we can open up the roadway.
We are coming to the final minutes of our segment, so thanks for our listeners. If you have any questions or comments, you can still reach us at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Lieutenant Bueno, I want to ask you, if somebody witnesses a hit-and-run crash on the highway or on a less congested side road perhaps, what should they do? What do they have any responsibilities to report?
Witnesses are key, and we definitely depend on witnesses in hit-and-run crashes. Obviously, we are going to collect whatever physical evidence that we can, but witnesses often play a crucial role because ultimately we need to put that driver behind the wheel. And ultimately, a witness is our best chance to do that. So should you see a traffic crash and you see someone leave, do the best you can to get a license tag, get a good look at the driver, direction of travel, and immediately report that to either Star FHP or Crime Stoppers, because that tip, albeit you may think it's insignificant, could be that necessary tip to solve this case, and you can remain anonymous should you make that tip.
Last question for you, Lieutenant Bueno. I think about what it's taken to get results in other campaigns for safer driving in the past, and I think of something like MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. They've been tackling that issue since the 1980s, and they say their efforts have helped decrease drunken driving by half. Is that something we need for other safe driving efforts like staying at the scene or distracted driving? Do we need a big all-out effort to raise that kind of awareness?
Well, and actually, Matt, I think that's what FHP is doing. We're taking a whole month of February, and you know, we're going to schools. We're going to public outreach events. We're holding press conferences statewide. And we're trying to get this number out there because hopefully that's an alarming number when we say last year in the state of Florida, 99,000 people made that poor choice to leave a scene. And it resulted in someone's property being damaged, 179 deaths involved with that, 1,200 serious bodily injuries. So, again, it should be shocking to all of us. It's going to take all of us collectively to solve it.
We'll have to leave it there for today. Lieutenant Greg Bueno with the Highway Patrol, thanks very much for coming in today.
My pleasure.
Coming up, we have a re-air of a segment we did last month about human trafficking in Florida and how it exploits women in the sex trade and increasingly traffickers targeting LGBT youth, especially boys and men. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Matthew Smith in for Julie Glenn. Stay with us.